We're here at the International Production and Processing Expo, formerly International Poultry Expo. We also have the Feed Expo here, and we're at the Poultry Scientific Forum. With me is Dr. Shelley McKee, who is with Auburn University and soon to be with the Poultry and Egg Export Council. She gave a presentation here at a luncheon sponsored by Novus on basically consumer preferences and how that's driving poultry processing and changes. First of all, Dr. McKee, if you could explain to us, talk a little bit about poultry consumption, the U.S. versus international.
Sure, I would be happy to do that. In the United States, right now today, if we look at consumption of poultry, it's around 82.5 pounds per person on an annual basis. And beef and pork are lower than that, as is turkey. But if you look around the world, that's not necessarily the case. It really does depend on the protein sources that are available within a geographical area. And obviously within coastal areas, seafood may be the number one consumed meat. But if you look worldwide, pork is the number one consumed meat. And that has to really do with the population of China and world consumption of other populations that like pork.
Well, you talked a little bit about how poultry fits in with our busy lifestyle as far as a dinner item.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Really, poultry, and I teach a class at Auburn, and the students even will say that poultry, the cuts that are available in the supermarket, they're less intimidating to prepare. They feel much more comfortable buying chicken and taking it home. And now with the variety of sauces that are available and the other things that are condiments for poultry, there's a lot of other things that can make meal planning very easy. And the interesting thing is, if you compare it to other protein sources, it's less expensive, but it's also got a healthier image, which really helps us because if you look at a normal breast fillet, it's about 3% fat. If you compare that to a steak or something else, those are actually higher. So for a person that's looking at health but also economics, it fits within that whole meal planning concept.
Well, the main thing you were talking about, though, is trends here, trends especially in the processing industry, and how we especially seen a lot of increased bird size in the last just few years, really.
Right. That has dramatically changed since the year 2000, and really even 2010 to 2012. We had a huge shift in the percentage of birds that are over 6 pounds. And that the reason for that is our industry has changed to meet consumer demands for further processed products. And so what we can do, we can take those bigger birds and the parts for bigger birds, and we can break those down. So we may have one where we have a breast fillet that we take and we portion it for a smaller serving, but then we can also cut fajita strips out of that same breast fillet. And so what the Big Bird program is really doing for our industry, it's really going to those further processed products and meeting consumer demands. And one of the issues that we always have when we're talking about those bigger birds is the misconception that we use hormones, which we do not. They're ineffective and they're also illegal. And so we've gained those weights in birds through good genetics, good nutrition, and good management practices. And that's something that we're always trying to share with people, that we do not use hormones in the poultry industry, but we do have other programs that really support the growth rate of poultry.
Well, now, then, as far as the rapid growth is concerned, you talked about some issues there, and the main first thing you talked about was white striping. What is that, and why is that really a concern?
That's a good question. When consumers buy product, the first thing that they do is buy with their eyes. So if I have a tray pack of breast fillets and I have three that look similar and one that looks different, the consumer is going to look at that product and think that there's something wrong. Now, for the white striping that we're seeing, does that impact the safety of the product? Definitely not. It's not a safety issue. It's an appearance issue, and we don't know. By the time we cook it, it does does look the same because poultry is pale when you cook it. However, what we don't know at this time is if that white stripe is going to impact any further processed products, like you make a luncheon meat out of that chicken. So there's a lot we have to learn, but we do know that the white striping, there's cellular degeneration going on in the muscle tissue. And that's something that we feel is really important because we don't want these things to worsen, and we need to find a solution so that we can either nutritional or what we're doing with genetics, so we can bring that back and have the fillets look normal. Because especially if they're raw, people are going to buy first with their eyes.
Well, and the research that we've done so far, you've seen a direct correlation in the rapid growth, especially the last couple of weeks, right?
Correct. The study that we did, we basically processed birds that were 6 weeks of age, and then we processed birds at 8 weeks of age. And at 8 weeks of age, the ones that the percentage that had severe white striping, 63% of that population had severe white striping, where at 6 weeks, where they weren't as big, it was 20-something percent. So it really did that last 2 weeks of growth, and they were, you know, the same birds. We split the population in half, really did impact the percentage of severe white striping that we saw in poultry.
So all you have to do is narrow down what goes on in that last 2 weeks especially, right?
Exactly. And different birds from different breeders and stuff will have what we call inflection points and growth rates. And that's something that I think needs to be really looked at a later time to see, okay, where do we need to focus on in the growth of the bird, and what do we need to do? What tools do we have to be able to address the issue? And we don't have those yet.
Well, you talked about some of the major processing changes that have come about in the last few years. Talk about those a little bit.
Sure. Processing changes have been amazing. We have new stunning equipment. There are so many things I didn't talk about in the talk. Anywhere from changing, you know, whether we're going to stun with gas stunning or electrical stunning. We have new evisceration equipment out there that allows poultry to, you can process at a faster rate because of the new types of evisceration systems that are out there. Today I also talked about what we call intelligent cut-up systems, where the meat and the poultry is being cut up, but it's cut up on the line, and people aren't involved until the meat gets deboned or to the final cut, and then they take over. So we've really evolved as an industry with a lot of great equipment that helps us meet our quality needs, our product needs, and also our safety needs.
Well, speaking of safety, that's probably the most important issue as far as consumers are concerned. Where's the poultry industry right now as far as food safety?
We've made a lot of improvements over the past 10 years, and we take food safety very seriously. That does not mean that there's not opportunities to improve more. A lot of the focus for food safety has been on the whole carcasses. And as you know, our industry has changed to where now we're processing birds that are cut up or going into further processed product or even fully cooked. Obviously, the safety issues with fully cooked doesn't compare to a raw product. However, we've got parts to consider, we've got ground product, and we're looking at new ways to be able to treat those products to make sure that we don't have salmonella or campylobacter, and that we're putting out as safe a product as we can possibly put out. But we need to also help consumers understand that they've got to handle the product properly, don't cross-contaminate, and also cook it to the right temperature, because we all want a safe food supply, and consumers are a part of that.
Right, so all aspects of the food chain. Well, finally, I'd like to ask you about Poultry 101, your course, and tell me about that.
Sure. Poultry 101 is a workshop that we developed in 2004. We started planning it in 2003, and it was really taking our class that we taught at universities, and when I say we, it's colleagues that I have at Texas A&M University and also the University of Arkansas, and we rotate this workshop. the workshop focuses on an overview of poultry processing and further processing along with safety. But we combine our kind of information with also industry information. For example, we have industry that would come in and talk about a certain piece of equipment or an ingredient in food products to give, you know, additional technical expertise that we may not be able to provide. And then we also make products. We actually take chickens through a processing plant. We actually take the meat and we make hot dogs, deli loaves, sausages. We smoke birds, make rotisserie birds. So the last day of the workshop, the people actually get to eat the product they made. And then plus, they get to see the process, not only the meat quality, but all the ingredients that go in there to make those products what they are. So we have fun with that. The next one is April 8th through the 10th at Auburn University. And so if anybody would like to come, we would look forward to having you.
So who do you, you know, what kind of students do you get at this workshop?
That's an interesting question. And the reason I say that is because we've had such a diverse audience. We do have processors there, but we also get restaurants, people like Outback, other companies that have come, where they have people that have to go out to these companies and they have to audit for meat quality. And so they come there for training on, okay, what is quality poultry supposed to be and what do I need to look for. So we have some of those people that come. We have marketing people that want to know just more about the industry. We have chefs that come. So the audience is so wide and diverse that, you know, it's usually processors and in the plant, but we have a lot of other people that come too. So it's really interesting.
Now, did you say Novus is one of the sponsors of this workshop?
Yes, Novus is one of the sponsors of the workshop and has been for a number of years, and we really appreciate their expertise. And the way that they fit into our workshop, you know, feeding is the start, but people need to understand that, you know, the feeding is an integral part of what we do to get the chicken to grow to the right weight, and then so that we can process it and it can meet the market demand that it's supposed to, or market segment. In other words, like, is it a fast food bird or is it a bigger bird that's going to deboning and then further processing past that? So nutrition is a huge part of getting that bird to the market segment that it's supposed to go to meet consumer demands.
All right, really interesting. Here at the International Production and Processing Expo in Atlanta, Georgia, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.